Psalm 142, an instruction of David when he was in the cave, a prayer. Verse 4, look on the right hand and see, there is no man that knoweth me. Refuge hath failed me, no man careth for my soul. John's Gospel, chapter 5. John 5, after these things was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem at the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a multitude of sick, blind, lame, withered, awaiting the moving of the water. For an angel descended at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. Whoever therefore first went in after the troubling of the water became well, whatever disease he laboured under. But there was a certain man there who had been suffering under his infirmity 38 years. And Jesus, seeing this man lying there and knowing that he was in that state now a great length of time, says to him, wouldest thou become well? The infirm man answered him, sir, I have not a man in order, when the water has been troubled, to cast me into the pool. But while I am coming, another descends before me. Jesus says to him, arise, take up thy couch and walk. And immediately the man became well and took up his couch and walked. And on that day was the Sabbath. And just a reference in 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. For God is one, and the mediator of God and men one, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, the testimony to be rendered in its own times. I have not a man. David was in a strait here. He was in trouble. He was being pursued by Saul. Certain persons reported to Saul where he was. He was down in his spirits. And he said, no man careth for my soul. Now, you can't say that tonight. There's nobody in the world tonight can say that no man careth for my soul. The good news in the glad tidings is that there is a man who cares for your soul, and his name is Jesus. He cares for your soul to such an extent that he died on Calvary's cross and bore the judgment of your sins and mine in order that your soul may be saved from a Christless eternity. That is how much Jesus cares for your soul. And simply, the gospel tonight, we're drawing attention to the man Christ Jesus. These words of Pilate, ecce homo, ring down the generations. Behold the man, as he brought the Lord Jesus out, clothed in that purple robe and crown of thorns. Behold the man, said in mockery. That's what we're seeing tonight, you know. Here he is, the man, Christ Jesus. The man who was there in Pilate's hall for me. The man who was going to Calvary for me to bear my sins in his own body on the tree. And so, what a saviour Jesus is, you know. And David, of course, we know, had his trust in God. But this is how he felt at this point. And maybe you feel that nobody cares for your situation. Nobody understands you. You're going through things that people can't relate to. They don't care. Well, I can tell you, the Lord Jesus knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're feeling and what you're thinking. And he wants to bless you. He wants to come into your life. If you'll just invite him to come in, You know, think of him knocking at the door of your heart tonight, desirous to come in and fill it like it's never been filled before. That's what the Lord Jesus wants to do for you. And you know, I read of him at the pool of Bethesda, because it demonstrates how the love of Christ was out towards his creature. You know, Jesus, as he moved here, he loved persons too much to leave them in the condition that they were in. And he loves you too much to leave you as you are. He never left persons as he found them. He brought blessing to so many. Now, the man in John 4 is not a very good example, because he disobeyed the Lord after he was healed. But nevertheless, the Lord Jesus came into that situation because that man needed help. And you know, it's wonderful that time and time again, the Lord Jesus intervened in persons' lives because because he loved them so much. We're reading about the Lord Jesus in John chapter 4-5. But you think of the Samaritan, you know. What an example he is. That man who was certain traveling on the Jericho road. You know that that man who left Jerusalem, you know, the road to Jericho is a downward path the whole way. It's 20 miles, I think, and it goes downward all the way from Jerusalem to Jericho. And that man took his path to Jericho. You don't say, why did he do it? He did it. And he fell among thieves. And they left him in a half-dead state. And you know, the priest came along, and he passed by on the other side. And the Levite. You know, the religious systems of men can't help you. They don't have the resources. We may criticize the Levite and the priest, but actually they had no resources. It reminds me, you know, of a woman who was thought to be very ill. And the priest came round to see her. And she said, why have you come? And he said, I've come to see about your salvation. And she said, sir, show me your hands. And he held out his hands. And she said, you are an impostor. The only one that can save me has got nail holes in his hands. The system can't fail you. The man who went to Calvary's cross is the one that can save you tonight, because he bore your sins in his body on the tree. You know, God is a God of love, but he's a righteous God. And he cannot act outside of his righteousness. The matter of your sins has to be dealt with righteously. And you can't do it. Thank God that Christ did it at Calvary's cross. Providing God with a righteous basis to come out in blessing towards you tonight. And so the Samaritan comes. It says he comes up to the man. Think of that. He comes up to the man. How low my Savior went, you know, in his pathway. No one went lower than the Lord Jesus. He came from the heights of glory. He left that scene, came into the human condition, and lived a life of perfection. But no one went lower than Jesus. Coming up to him, had compassion on him. He couldn't leave that man the way he found him. He can't leave you tonight the way he finds you. He wants to bless you. He wants to save you. He has the resources. He poured in the oil and the wine and bound up his wounds. Think of the wounds of persons in the world tonight. Think of the ravaging of sin, you know. Oh, you see, I'm too bad. My life's been too bad. There's nothing too hard for the Savior, you know. He bound up his wounds and put him on his own beast and took him to the inn and took care of him. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord Jesus takes care of his own right to the end. I am coming again. Typically, he was given into the care of the Holy Spirit until he returned. And there's resources to maintain every one of us until the Lord comes. So the Samaritan is an example of how the Lord Jesus changed and intervened in persons' lives because he loved them. And that is a wonderful thing in the glad tidings, to understand that there is a man that cares for your soul, and that man is Jesus. Well, think of the compassions of the Lord Jesus in John 5, that he came into that scene. I don't know how often the angel came down and troubled the waters. That was a provision of divine grace. And these persons sat round the pool and waited for the angel to descend. It might have been once a year. I don't know. But as soon as the waters were troubled, you had to get in first. Now, this man couldn't get in himself. He couldn't get in. He needed help. I have not a man. He wanted to be well, but he needed help. Now, we can direct you to the Savior tonight. We can't save you. We might want to save you. And the Lord knows that we would want everybody to come and trust in this glorious Savior. But we can't save you. We can simply help you to come to Jesus. And you know, that he had not a man, but the Lord had compassion. It says he knew that he'd been in that condition for 38 years. Think of the compassions of Christ drawn out towards that man. He just told him to arise and take up his couch and walk. The power of Christ to bring healing into a person's life. He can do it tonight. He is doing it tonight. Will you not open your heart to the Savior and come by faith and repentance? Just admit that you need help. Wouldst thou become well? Yes, he would. Of course he would. Persons are seeking for salvation in all kinds of places, but they're knocking on the wrong doors. You know, they're looking to find peace and find salvation through their own efforts, through being good, through giving to charity, through going to church, through being no worse than the next man. It's all hopeless. Your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Salvation is in Christ alone. Neither is another name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. You know that word, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, is as current tonight as it was when it was said nearly 2,000 years ago. It's the way of salvation. The only way of salvation tonight. We're living in a world that doesn't like that message. They say there's many ways to reach God. Many ways. You can have your own God. To us there is one God, the Father. And the Lord Jesus said that no one comes to the Father except by me. There is only one way of salvation. There is only one hope for your soul. It is good, you know, if you're exercised about your soul. Because you have an ever-dying soul. And the question is, where will you spend eternity? Death is not the end. Death, as someone has said, is an arrest in view of the final assizes. The scripture says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. These are sobering words. Death is not the end. Persons who refuse Christ in the glad tidings will face an eternity without him. And you know, everybody will be raised from the dead. Have you thought about that? Such is my Savior's victory over death, that no person who has ever walked on this earth will remain in death eternally. Those who've trusted Christ and gone to be with him will be raised in the first resurrection. But those who've refused will be raised in the second resurrection. And that is an awful contemplation. God desires your blessing tonight. He doesn't want anybody to find themselves in the lake of fire. Well, I don't here to preach judgment. I'm here to tell you about my Savior. my Saviour, whose blood availed for me. Are you sheltering under the blood of Jesus? Do you know what that is? The cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, you know. It was shed for me. Shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. Wonderful thing when you can say that with all sincerity, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. That is past sins, present sins, future sins. All of your sins were future to Christ when he died on Calvary's cross. Every single one. And you couldn't have peace in your heart if you thought there was something he didn't know about. He knows everything. The woman in John 4 discovered that the Lord Jesus knew every detail of her life. Every detail. And the wonderful thing is that the one who knows you best loves you most. Isn't that wonderful? He lived a life of absolute perfection, a life that I could never live because of my sinful state. But it was not the life of Christ that saved me. The perfection of it were a study for my heart, but it was his death and his work and Calvary's cross that saves me tonight. The fact that he took on my liability. Him who knew not sin was made sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness in him. He offered himself without spot to God to bear the sins that you and I had committed. What a Saviour Jesus is. Remember that tract? I often refer to it. I think it was around in the late 70s or early 80s. It was only 8 pages. And all it said was, you'd think that someone loved you quite a lot if they died for you, Jesus did. You got the message before you put the tract in the bin. That is the love of Jesus. He loved you so much that he died for you. And now he lives for you. Isn't that wonderful? He's no longer in death. Death couldn't hold him. He went into death voluntarily. You and I will go by way of death if the Lord tarries, because we don't avoid death because we've sinned. We avoid the sting of death because he's taken it away. But our death is the consequence of our lives. We can't avoid it. But his death was the purpose of his life. He came to die. He came to die for me. He came to die for you. Give his life a ransom for all. That's why he's the mediator. That's why the mediator between God and man is one. The man, Christ Jesus. Job said, I don't have a mediator. I want a mediator between me and God. Christ is the mediator. He stepped into the breach. He took on our liability. He stands there as the mediator tonight. Why? Because he gave himself a ransom for all. You know, the provision that Christ has made is enough to cover every soul in the universe tonight. So it's wide in its provision, but it's limited in its application, because you have to accept the gift of God. What's the use in a gift if you don't accept it? You have to receive it. You have to accept this gift of Christ as a Saviour and come by repentance. Accept what you are. What does that mean? It means accepting that you're a sinner, that you come round to God's view of your life and what you are before him, and cry out to the Saviour. That's all you need to do. Accept Christ as your Saviour and come under the shelter of that precious blood. He gave up his life for me. He went into death. And after he died, his precious blood was shed. You know, he died to remove the order of manhood to which I belonged from the sight of God eternally. But he shed his precious blood in order that what stood out against me in the sight of a holy and righteous God would be cleared away. These are the aspects of the death of Christ. And you can have peace tonight in trusting the Saviour. Well, 3 days he was raised from the dead. by the glory of the Father, our living, glorious Savior. And he's coming again. Maybe come tonight. You know, you can trust the words of the Lord Jesus. I am coming again, John 14. And I shall receive you to myself, that where I am, ye may be also. That's the Savior's desire. He's coming for us. Are you among those who are waiting for the Lord's return? Do you have this hope and this peace in your heart? Well, the man, Christ Jesus, he remains a man for us, a glorious man. And I just leave you with a verse in 1 Peter 5. Peter's an old man. He's had a lot of history with the Lord, a lot of history with God. And he says to those believers, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He never stops caring. Never. Many of us in this room have proved that firsthand. And he never stops caring for his own. What a thing it is to know somebody like that. Somebody you can trust completely. Somebody you can rely on. And we're all in our waywardness. And we're all wayward, aren't we? Even after we accept Christ as our Savior, we'll tend to be wayward. Our love ebbs and flows, but his love never changes. Never changes. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Well, may we know this Savior. May we trust this glorious Savior, one who loves us so much that he died for us, shed his precious blood, made it possible for us to be brought back, reconciled to God through the death of his Son. May you come to know him tonight, for his name's sake.